Aren't you glad you came today? Good opportunity for us to worship the Lord together, and how fitting for such a beautiful time as this to come to a psalm like this that really does talk about the idea of corporate praise and corporate worship and the idea of exalting the Lord our God. And so I'm excited for today for us to sing together, but also to look into God's Word, and I pray that God would speak to us. Father, thank you so much. You are more than amazing. There are none that compare to you. Forgive us, Lord, for those times when we allow things to creep in and steal the attention that is due to you alone. Father, forgive us for looking to others and other things for guidance and wisdom and direction instead of looking to the God who is the amazing God of all knowledge and understanding, all power, all wisdom, all love and grace and mercy. You indeed are sufficient and more than sufficient. You are an amazing God. Help us to explore the wonder of your greatness. Help our hearts to be soft to you, Father. I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts even now, in our hearts and our minds, to conform us and transform us even more into the very image of Christ. And so I pray, Lord, as we embark upon Psalm 147, that you would teach us what it means to praise you, to praise you, to adore you, to exalt you, to lift up your name. For you indeed are the Most High God. You, Father, are our God. And we praise you today. I pray maybe there are some here that are struggling today, Father. We lift them up to you and pray today that in the midst of their difficult circumstances that you would help them to praise you. That they would see that you're greater than their circumstances and you're greater than the difficulties. And that indeed, if they have faith in you, that you are able and they are able through you to move mountains. So, Lord, would you remove the mountains from our lives that distract us from your will? Would you, Lord, clear the path for us so that we might walk the straight and narrow path that leads only to you? And so, Father, have your way. Have your way in our lives. As Neil prayed earlier, that our thoughts and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you. That's what we desire, Lord, that our very lives would be pleasing to you. And so, Lord, show us, examine us, and show us if there is any way within us that is not right with you. I pray for us individually, and I pray for couples that are here today. Father, I pray for the love of Christ to be in each and every marriage that is in here. That, Father, that in our lives that we would see a demonstration of the love of Christ and the love that we are to have for Christ. And Lord, as a church, what a sweet spirit you have given to us. Where you have, I believe, you've helped us to grow in unity. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit would continue to bring us together, to mold us and shape us into not just the individuals and not just the families, but the church that you want us to be. And so we lift ourselves up to you and we pray, Father, you have your way in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our church, in every aspect of who we are. Would you have total control? We surrender to you, our amazing God, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 147 as we continue. You remember these last five psalms in the book of Psalms focus on the idea of praising God. Praising God. We kind of defined that last week with the idea of exalting the Lord or admiring God, the idea of lifting his name up on high, drawing attention to God. And so once again, I remind us as we embark upon a study in the idea of praising God, that the heart of praising God is drawing attention to God. That we are to point others to the Lord through our actions, through our words, through our very lives that we live. We are to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father himself to glorify them. Listen to the psalmist here as he encourages us through this psalm to praise the Lord in Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming or fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and he gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. That's amazing. The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens which cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and waters to flow. He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. A number of things stand out to me about this psalm. One is a beautiful reminder of the greatness of God. I love how the psalmist, and we were talking in our life group this last week as we met together in a home to go over Psalm 146. We talked about and recounted once again the idea that the psalmist does not just tell us to praise God, but he tells us why we are to praise God. And ultimately, it is the idea that we are to praise God because he is worthy and he alone is awesome. He is an amazing, amazing God. When I think of this psalm, there are a number of things that stand out to me. Obviously, a psalm within this collection of psalms, these last five psalms, it begins once again with the idea of praise the Lord. It ends with the idea of praise the Lord. And once again, it's a praise sandwich, if you will. Within the ends of the idea of praising the Lord, which is a command given to us, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what we're facing in life, praise the Lord. And yet within there is all these ideas of why we are to praise God. There's some amazing statements in here. That the wisdom and understanding of God is infinite. That boggles my mind. So it is a psalm of praise, obviously. It specifically addresses Israel, Jerusalem, Zion. If you notice here in the psalm, in verse 2, for example, it says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. Also in verse 12, he says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. In verses 19 and 20, he closes out with the idea, once again, related to Israel or Jerusalem, the idea of the Jews. He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. And then he ends with the idea that there is no nation like Israel because God gave his word to Israel. And we are, I'll remind us, we are beneficiaries of that act. God's word came to us. And God's blessing comes to us through the blessing that was given to Abraham. That God, through Abraham, would send one who would be a blessing to all the nations. So there is specifically an address here on the idea of Israel. This is a psalm specifically written for the idea of Jerusalem, to praise the Lord. But I believe there is much application here as well. Because in verse 11, listen to this. The Lord favors those who fear him. Those who wait for his loving kindness. That is not just Israel. That is not just the Jews. We can see through the Old Testament numerous people that were not Jewish, were not from Israel, that were those that were known as fearing God. And I would say to you today that if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one who fears the Lord. You are one who is waiting for and trusting in his loving kindness, because God's loving kindness comes through his promise of Messiah, Christ. He is our hope. for the Jew and the Gentile. Amen? For all people. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. He is the way, the only truth, and the only life. And so there is the idea of, I believe, general application to us, that if we fear the Lord, we will find the blessing of God to ourselves as well. There's also, I could not help but think about the idea of corporate praise within the psalm. Corporate praise. So in verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to God, for it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast. This idea of a plural, to praise the Lord, a corporate sense here. In verse 5, he says, great is our Lord. Obviously, within the Psalms, there are ideas. Psalm 23 comes to mind most clearly. The Lord is my shepherd. And I hope that you have that personal sense of a relationship with God, where you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not mine alone, but he is my God. He is my Lord. He is my master. He is my Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that guides me, and he's the one that directs me. He's the one that protects me. He's the one that watches over me. He's the one that sustains me. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I pray that you have that personal sense of conviction that God is my God. But yet we cannot just focus on the idea of ourselves being alone. God did not save us to be an island. God did not save us to be a lone ranger. God saved us and brought us into the family of God. And within a psalm, we see the idea, although there are psalms that actually highlight the idea of personal praise and personal worship, and we believe in a personal obligation that we have, a personal responsibility to serve the Lord, but yet there is a bigger picture of corporate worship. We are the called out ones. We are the gathered together ones. We are the assembly of God. Plural, the idea of a collection of people that God has brought together. And so there is a corporate sense of praise that is in this psalm. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving in verse 7. Sing praises to our God. We come today not just to worship my God or your God. We come together today to worship our God. And I would say to you, this is the only time of the week when we gather like this. This is a very important time because it's the only time that we can gather together like this and worship our God together. You can worship him, and I hope that you worship him all throughout the week. In fact, I would pray that you would have the heart of the psalmist that we have seen, that you would meditate day and night upon his law. And that you would think about the Lord, he would ever be on your mind. But I would pray that you would reserve this time that we have together to worship our God together as special in your priorities. The psalmist brings it out several times. In verse 12, once again, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Once again, this idea of corporate worship and corporate praise. Let me give you a key statement or a key thought for today from this psalm, something that you can hold on to and hopefully take away. Praising God is good and intended to be pleasurable. Praising God is good, and God intends for it. It was made for the purpose of being pleasurable. We can fall prey to the wrong idea that praise is just a command, that it's a duty that we have to do. And we can treat praise, we can treat church attendance, we can treat service in the church as a duty, can't we? As Neil was saying earlier, and I've fallen prey to it many times in my life over the years, there's a need, nobody's going to do it, I guess I'll do it. After all, I'm a member of the church, I have a responsibility. I've grown in that understanding of what God expects. God expects me to exercise my gifts that he has given to me and to take pleasure in it. I would, once again, as we think about this time of year when we reflect upon what God is calling each of us as individuals to do within the church, I would remind you to do what God has given you pleasure in doing. God does not just call us to do things that are just difficult or against our will, to show how much we're dedicated. God wants us to have pleasure in serving Him. I take pleasure in teaching the Word of God. I pray that whatever you do in the church, that you would find pleasure in it, and those things that you find pleasure in the Lord, that you would exercise those gifts in the church. Praising God is good, and it's intended to be pleasurable. First of all, good. Psalmist, does he not say that? Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is good, it is right, it is fitting, it is appropriate. It's fitting for the people of God who know who God is to give praise to Him. When you understand how great His mercy is, when you understand how great His love is, when you understand His amazing grace toward us, how could you help but praise the Lord? Because it's fitting. He deserves it, and we know, do we not know, He deserves even more than what we're capable of doing? He is the one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or imagine. Do you not think that God is worthy of even more than we can think or imagine that we can do? He's an amazing God. It's fitting. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It's good to that. It's right. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, you may have difficult circumstances you're facing in life, and it may be difficult for you right now to praise the Lord. We talked about that some last week. Let me remind you not to just put your attention on the circumstances that you're in right now, but let me remind you to take and put your focus on the things that are lying ahead for us, the promises that God has for us, that His loving kindness is everlasting for all of eternity. We're passing through just like that, this life. Just like that. All of eternity before us in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. It's not only fitting for us to praise the Lord, but it is good for us. It is good for us. There are a lot of things that are good for us. Physical fitness can be a good thing for you. I had to make a confession. I'm not a cat person, but I do like cats. Now, it may change your opinion of me. But did you know that I did some research yesterday? Jacob, did you know that if you have cats, that by and large you are 30 or 40% less likely to have a heart attack? Pretty amazing, huh? Now, I have nothing against dogs. I love dogs, and one day if we have enough property, I'm going to have a dog, or if my wife feels led this year at Christmas time to get me one, I'll be glad to receive it. But there are a lot of things that do a lot of good for us, are there not? We know that, right? Eating a candy bar every day is probably not the best thing to do. But it is good. It's just not good for you, right? Praising the Lord is good for you. Praising. Can I use our worship time today as an example? It is good for me. I hope it is good for you. To hear your voices and our voices together, not just singing words, but worshiping the same God for the same reasons, because He's good, was encouraging to me. It's the highlight of my week. It really is. I leaned over to Danny. I said, isn't there a sweet spirit here today? It's a sweet place to be because we want to praise God. Are we perfect? I was thinking, we're imperfect people praising a perfect God. So forgive us for our imperfections. You have them as well. We'll do our best to forgive you of yours if you'll forgive us of ours. Amen? We're imperfect. We don't claim to be perfect. We claim to serve a perfect God. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 30, I was encouraged by these words because to me this is the context of David praising God. David was facing enemies all over the place. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, killing him. For all the peoples were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Praise will strengthen you because it will take your eyes off your circumstances and place them on God. Psalm 22, verse 3. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Some translations say that God inhabits the praise of his people. That Hebrew word there is to dwell or to sit. And so literally it's in a sense saying that God sits or God dwells where people are praising him. He inhabits the praise of his people. And so when we praise God, you should feel encouraged because God does take notice of that. God loves to see and hear his people praise him. And so praising God is good, and it is pleasurable. It should be pleasurable, a delight to us. Listen to Psalm 16, verse 6, to kind of catch how this word pleasure is used within the Old Testament. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. In other words, have you ever just stopped and looked and thought, hey, God has blessed me? My wife and I say that all the time. We say, we've got it made, don't we? And we've got our difficulties, right? We all have our difficulties. But we often look at each other and we say, we have it so good. God is so good to us. The lines have fallen in pleasant places. Same word that is used for the idea of praise being a pleasant thing. He says, indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. I am continually reminded, that the things of this earth do not bring us eternal pleasure. It seems like it takes less and less time for me to realize after I get something. I long for something, I desire something, I get it, and sometimes even while I'm driving home I say, it's okay. I'll just be honest with you. It's okay. There's really only one thing that brings me true pleasure, and that's the Lord. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The sweetness of the unity of the Spirit of the Lord is also the same word that is used to describe the idea of praising God. It's a beautiful thing. It's a pleasurable thing. Proverbs 24, verse 3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant things. Riches. You get something, a prized possession, it does bring you pleasure. It's the same word that's used with the idea of praising. There's a sense of pleasure that we should get from praising God. The idea that we are worshiping and allowed to worship, given the privilege to worship the amazing God of all creation. The one who has given his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. It's an amazing thing to think about. That God is the one who gave the sacrifice for us. What a pleasure it should be for us to worship God. So, I thought about this psalm the context of the God who gives. Praise the Lord who gives. The one who gives. Because numerous times throughout this passage, we find that idea that God gives something. God gives something. He gives the snow. He gives the rain. He gives the beast of the field food to eat. All these things stand out. And so let me just give you three or four things here. Let me kind of can this together, collect this together if I can, around these major ideas. Praise the Lord who gives restoration and healing. Praise the Lord who gives restoration and healing. It begins in verse 1 and verse 2 with the idea of the Lord building up Jerusalem. Some would say that this psalm was a response to coming out of captivity, coming back into the land once again, and God is going to restore to Jerusalem its prominence. That God is going to build up Jerusalem again. And so they're saying, praise the Lord because he's brought you out of captivity. Praise the Lord because he has not left you desolate. Praise the Lord because he's going to build you back up. If you've come through a hard time in life, if you've come through difficulties in time, God has restored you. God has lifted you up. God has, if you will, God has healed you. And our response to those times of God's work in our lives should be the idea of praising Him. Praising God for His goodness and His mercy toward us. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. God is the great builder. Once again, I can't help but go back. There is the mention of Zion in this passage. I can't help but go back to the idea of God's promise that He would raise up a son of David. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, once again, David is going to build a house for the Lord. And God says, well, did I ever ask anybody to build me a house? Do I need a house? I will build you a house. Listen to this once again. When your days are fulfilled and you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up one of your descendants after you, who will be of your sons. I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build for me a house. Remember then in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said this, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, God's house, if you will. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. This God here, who is the God who heals, we understand His great power, do we not? We understand His ability to build, that He can build things. In fact, it tells us here, it gives us a glimpse in verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Think about that. That's our God. He, once again, He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. I was watching a video this last week of a man. His name is Daniel Tammet. He's a British man. I think he's 39 years old now. And they were celebrating, or they were talking about his achievement on Pi Day. Now, for those like me, when I hear the word pi, I either think of apple pie, or I think of the 14th letter of the Greek alphabet, pi. But I don't usually think of the irrational number pi, 3.14. But that's what he was talking about. He had achieved something amazing. He's a guy, he's a savant. He's got something with his brain that is unique. There's only like 25 people in the world that have this disorder that he has. And so he has an amazing memory, especially with numbers. You may have seen the movie years ago, Rain Man. He's a live Rain Man. And on, I think it was March 14th, which is Pi Day, 3.14, on Pi Day 2004, he recited 22,514 decimal points of pi from memory. And they had a number of people that were, the whole time that he was doing it, it took him 5 hours and 9 minutes, I think it was, to recite it. For 5 hours and 9 minutes, he was saying 3.14, 5, 6, I don't know. 3.14 is my limit, okay? Talk to Tyler if you want to go any further, okay? But they had a number of people that were watching, and he made no mistakes. For 5 hours and 9 minutes, he recited pi. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Think about that within the context of God, though. He counts the number of the stars, and he gives them names. Literally, he calls them by name. So I wrote some things down about stars. Did you know that of all the stars that we see in the sky, that they are all bigger and brighter than our sun? It's amazing, isn't it? Did you know that the nearest star is 4 light years away, according to scientists? Now, this is all from the internet, so you know it's accurate and true, right? Right? So forgive me if you're a scientist and I'm off a little bit. But the nearest star supposedly is 4 light years away. That's if you travel 186,000 miles per second for 4 years, you would get to the closest star. 186,000 miles per second is equivalent to 7.5 times around the Earth in 1 second. That's fast. Right? They say that there are at least, that we know of, because we can't find the end of creation or space or whatever you want to call it, that there are at least 1 billion trillion stars. 1 billion trillion stars. It would take you, I had to find out, it would take you 5.8 thousand billion years to count the stars that we know of. 5.8 thousand billion years to count the stars just that we know of. And the Bible says, listen, he counts the number of stars and he gives them all names. If God not only knows the stars and he can count the stars and he knows their names, but he made the stars, don't you think he can handle your little problem? I mean, really, don't you think he can? He certainly can. He's a God who restores, and he is a God who is able to heal. In fact, he is the only one that is able to heal. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. Jeremiah, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. You're my glory. You're my honor. You're my everything. God heals through Christ. Listen, Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. God does heal. If you have an ailment, if you have a sickness, if you have something that's going terribly wrong in your life, God can restore and God can heal. We believe that. Otherwise, we should not even pray. God is a healer and a restorer, and we should praise him for that. We should praise the Lord who gives favor to all of his creation. He gives favor to all of his creation. There's mercy dripping off the page in every aspect of this psalm. Listen, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to him who covers the heavens with the clouds. The clouds are beautiful, are they not? You look out over the sky and you get in an open field. Get out in a country where you don't have the city lights that diminish all the sky effects there. And you look up and you say, wow, amazing. In the daytime you see the clouds and you say, amazing. You fly through with an airplane through the sky and you see the clouds and you say, wow, amazing. I mean, take the time to enjoy God's creation. He's the one that has given us all these things to testify about himself. He's the one that has given favor to all of creation. He gives us the clouds for rain. He gives us the clouds for shade in the summer. In the wintertime, like this last week, I was looking for the sun. Not the shade. I was moving the saw over to the sun spot because I wanted to get the effect of the heat. He's the one that gives us all these things. He makes the grass to grow on the mountains. It doesn't come by accident. God put it there. The mountains are there because he made them. He put them there. Listen, he's the one that gives food to the beast, all the creatures. He's the one that hears the cries of the raven. He knows each and every little dove, doesn't he? And yet the Bible says that we're more important than all of that. And let me say, if God's favor toward his creation is amazing to you, his favor toward his special creation, mankind, should be amazing to you. Amazing. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Once again, verse 11 brings out the idea that God's favor is toward those who fear him. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. We saw that when we looked at Psalm 34. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, you holy ones, for those who fear him have no lack. And you say, well, I trust the Lord, but I feel like I have some needs. When you trust the Lord completely, you'll find that indeed there is only one thing that is needful. Honestly, there is only one thing that is needful, and that is the Lord himself. Psalm 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. So God is close to those. He inhabits the praise of his people. He looks for those whose hearts are completely his, so that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. You feel like you're lacking in the power of God or the presence of God? Turn to respecting God, honoring God, praising God. He gives favor to all of creation. Praise the Lord who gives peace and prosperity. Peace. He is peace, right? There is no peace apart from Christ. He is peace on earth to all mankind. He's our strong protector in verse 13. He's the one that gives peace in the borders around Jerusalem. He gives us peace in our surroundings. He hedges us in, does he not? He's a hedge of protection around us. He's the one that commands his creation in verse 15. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly, and we know his word does not return void. Does not return void. It will carry out its intended purpose. Listen to Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. I love this passage. Part of the minor prophets we call, or the book of the 12. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, I love that, the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. His mercy to Jerusalem, yes. His mercy to Israel, yes. His mercy to the nations. God is gathering together a people for himself. We should give praise to God because of the peace and prosperity that he gives to us. Listen, verse 14. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. Now, my wife doesn't probably understand why snow is a blessing. It's a sign of prosperity, but when I was recently in Colorado, we were flying into Denver, and as I looked out far in the distant view there, there were the mountains, snow-capped mountains. They were beautiful. God put that snow there. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and he melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. God is a merciful God and he gives us peace and prosperity. He gives us his word in verses 19 and 20. He gives us his word. He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. The law was given to Israel. Paul talks about this when you think about the idea of the privilege of Israel or the Jews. He says, for example, let me start with Moses in Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Israel is the ones through whom the law came. Moses and the Hebrews, the Jews, if you will. And Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 3. Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, of priority. Protos. First. Number one. What's the benefit? What's the greatest? What is the greatest benefit? First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What is the most precious thing that we could ever have upon this earth? The Word of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus Christ. But the Word to be treasured. For it is by faith and hearing the Word of God that we come to faith, right? Is the idea that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We're saved through the Word. And the oracles of God were first given to Israel, to the Jews. But I love this in Hebrews chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Messiah, Christ. God has spoken through his word, and as we're going to see when we start our study in January in the Gospel of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he was in the beginning with God, and he is God, the Word. Christ is our most prized possession. We should praise God because he's given us, yes, his written Word, But we should praise God because he has given us Christ. Let me close with this thought. Just a challenge for us as we... I've done a lot of reflecting this last week on who we are in Christ. And Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 was a verse that we looked at before, but I thought it would be good for us to remind ourselves of this. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that is the Lord. That he knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Boast not in who you are, boast in who he is. Amen? Boast, if you want to boast about yourself, boast in what God has made you in Christ. Not what you have, not what you have of yourself, but what you have in Christ. Boast only in Christ. Father, thank you so much for your word. Would you help us to praise you? Would you help us to boast in you? You are the only one that is worthy of bragging about. You're the only one that is worthy of boasting, of exalting, of lifting up, of shouting the name of. You're alone worthy of these things. Would you help us, Lord, to praise you? For you are the great giver of so many things. You've given us this creation to enjoy. You've given us this life to enjoy. But you have given us eternal life in Christ. You're the giver of life. And we praise you. Those of us that know Christ as our Lord and Savior know the promise of eternal life. And we praise you, for we know that we were once lost in our trespasses and sins, that we were in outer darkness, that we were outcasts, that we were even enemies of God. But you quickened us, you opened our eyes, you gave us, you imparted to us life, everlasting life. Lord, I pray, maybe there's one here that doesn't know Christ, has never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray today that you would open their eyes to the great blessing of eternal life. That you would show them today the great gift that you have given, that you gave your Son, that while we were yet sinners, Christ gave his life, that he came to rescue us. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen.